Let us pray. Bring your word near to us, O God. May it rest not only on our lips, but also reside in our hearts. By the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to respond to your word with our whole lives until you become our dwelling place. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is from Colossians 2, verse 6 through 8, and it's found on 1833 of your pew Bible if you want to follow along. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ.
Our second scripture reading is from the book of Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. It can be found on page 1506 of your pew Bible. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. These are the words of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, help us to not fall into temptation, to deceitful and hollow philosophy. Help us to put your words into practice, to follow your way, spiritual depth, love, and grace. Be with me as I deliver this message, and allow your spirit to work through it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So after you have survived the parking lot, you have grabbed a grocery cart. Maybe you're one of those people that says, I have to do the wipe on the grocery cart before I walk with it. And you have that little wipe thing. You wipe that down. What is the next important thing that you bring with you the minute you walk into that grocery store? Let's hear it. A list. That's right. The list. And if you're like me, if you don't have the list, it's over, man. It's over. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to forget stuff I need. I'm going to buy stuff I don't need. And I don't know what's going to happen. Has any of you went into the store and tried to remember the list that you had written down? Anybody in here tried to do that? It's miserable, right, Cindy?
Yeah.
What happens?
It's havoc.
It's havoc. Chaos. Exactly. Because that's what happens to me. This list, you put a lot of work into it, hopefully, right? This list, and you hope, because it represents your future refrigerator, right? Everything that you buy in this is what you're going to eat for the next week and a half or however long you're buying, right? Maybe the next few days. And without it, I'm hopeless. And I will say that without a list, I will not have my preferred outcome at the grocery store experience, right? Now, this is a little bit of what Paul is hinting at in his letter to the Colossians. He talks about being rooted, being built up in Christ. He's telling us to find our guidance in Christ. Be rooted there, and then take that being rooted and go out into the world. Go explore, because you are grounded and you're built up in Christ. This means many things. It means that you know your boundaries. It means you know your code of conduct for yourself, how you are to act when you encounter others. It means you are trustworthy, even if you have to sacrifice to be so. So when you leave your house, you have solid ground from which to experience the joys and challenges of life out there in the wild. It's the rock the man built his house on. And when the rain came and the winds blew and the creek rose, the house stood. Being rooted doesn't mean you won't face the wind and the rain, but it does mean you may be able to come out the other end of the storm with hope and promise, not despair and regret. That's what I think about when I think about these lists. Because when you walk into that grocery store, that's what you're saying. I have something I can trust in. I have something that I can depend upon. A grounding. Somewhere to start. Somewhere to carry me through. Some way to end. That's what Christ does for us. And that's what the words of Scripture that we read do for us on a regular basis. Now, there's another good reason to be grounded in Christ, to walk into the store with a list. In hopes that you have no grounding, right? Our corporate culture will put up the puppet strings and try to manipulate you into finding purpose and meaning in hollow and deceptive consumeristic philosophy. Whoa! You know what that means? Culture hopes that you're a blank slate the minute you walk into that grocery store. Oh boy, do they ever, because they got a lot of things they want to sell you. And they hope you're walking in there with nothing. Blank slate. And a lot of our world's like that too. They hope we have no grounding so that we can be on puppet strings, manipulated to do what people want us to do. Instead of being grounded in Christ and knowing how we are to love, live. Culture wants to put us like we're putty in their hands. Manipulate us into buying all the stuff they want us to buy. Case in point, the grocery store. Ann has a relative who worked for a little while with Target. And I would chat her up at Thanksgiving and meals. And she was responsible for store layout. Now, this is a big deal, team, because it turns out they hire psychologists to work for these giant corporations. And guess what? These psychologists figure out how to arrange the store so that they can get the maximum profit out of you. Every single one of you. Now, here are some of the tricks I have learned this week. And I knew some of these, like, you know, put all the dairy in the back. That's an old classic, right? But here are some other ones. I didn't realize these things. And they do this to you. According to the book Brandwashed, the first thing you see in most grocery stores, isn't that true? You know, Aldi doesn't do that, but they put the candy up front. We know what they're going for. But when you walk into Kroger, you see fresh produce. Now, what's interesting about this is this. You go into there, it's very colorful, right? Very colorful. They spray it with water, right? Guess what that does to you? Makes you hungry. It makes you very hungry. And what happens when you're hungry and you're in the grocery store? Oh boy. You're buying stuff you don't need. A lot of stuff you don't need, right? Some other interesting things, right? Down to the music. Did you know that grocery stores, this was a study done in Stores that play music keep their customers in the store 34% longer. What? Have you ever been to a grocery store where you haven't heard music? No, I haven't. Here was the other thing that I'd never even thought of. When you go into a grocery store, do you see windows or skylights? No, they're like casinos. They want you to stay in there as long as possible. I don't even know what time of the day it is. Well, I got more shopping to do. Right? Just like casinos. I know some of y'all in here have been in some casinos. Right? These little things that they do to you, the whole store. And this is just the beginning. I got these. We'd be here all day. The whole store is hell-bent in bending you to its will, making you do something that under normal circumstances you would not do. Paul says in Colossians, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. See to it that you are not easily manipulated, that you become groundless and disconnected. Paul was fighting against false teachers who argued that humanity had no agency, that we were just for the forces in the cosmos. And it's not hard for us to feel that way either about the forces that try to manipulate us. From commercials, advertisements, political pressure, psychological tricks, yes, even sermons, the temptation to buy into hollow, worthless, nonsense philosophy is strong in this world. Our politicians push this stuff. They stir up the pot. They put on the illusions that they care when it's all really about them. Our corporations, our news organizations, heck, even religious denominations are all guilty of it, trying to push you into thinking what they want you to think about. Buy into this so we can sell you more stuff. Buy into this so that we can groom your tastes and desires into what you want. We want you to like. It's like, talk about the grocery store. Henry and I we buy these little food packets for Simon because the poor boy needs as many calories as possible. And we go to the baby food aisle at the Kroger. And of course, you know what they put right on the baby food aisle at Kroger is what? Toys. And let me tell you, I have never seen a bigger collection of junk in my life. And every bit of it is like $6.99. Is that right, Ryan? Like every bit of it. They got the little guy. They got those little guys, little Imaginex dudes. But they got a lot of junk in there. And Henry goes nuts. Man, let's get that. Let's get it. I need this now. All right? And you know what? Sometimes I give into it. And I just do it because I got to get out of the store. And man, I don't know. Sometimes it's worth the fight. I'll do it every time. But if it's bad enough, I just, whatever, man. It's $6. And then I get out to the car. I'm not even looking, right? And I get out to the car and I go, this is what I got for $6? And what happens? The kid plays with it for maybe 20 minutes. And man, that thing is lucky if 5 days down the road, it's something I step on and break. Because that's as much action as it'll ever get for the rest of its life. Right? Hollow, deceptive, that's what that is. And culture is trying to sell that to you all the time. These things that feel really good in the moment, but the minute you get home, the minute you live with the consequences, you realize there's nothing there. There's nothing there. And you sold part of your soul and bucks of your soul for what? So what do we do? How do we avoid the puppet strings that culture is trying to place on us all the time? You have to have a list. You have to have grounding in something that is not hollow or self-serving. For us, that is faith in Christ, a commitment to live a Christ-like life. This doesn't mean you won't fall victim to temptations. You will fall victim to psychological tricks that the world throws your way. All of us have at some time or another bought into a certain amount of hollow and deceptive philosophy. We have. But if you have that grounding, you may be able to recognize the tricks and navigate them more often than not. And by navigating them, you will become more self-aware and able in the future not to fall victim to the hollowness and deception that is out there. So here's your list from God. Had to say, and this is your list that you need to take everywhere you go, because this is the opposite of hollow. This is a way to live a fulfilling and fruitful life. One, everyone is a child of God and has worth in the eyes of God, and that includes you, no matter how worthless you may feel most of the time. Two, love others as Christ loves you. That's what Jesus said to the disciples right before he died, right? He washed their feet and said, love others as I loved you. Three, live a life of gratitude, a kind of gratitude that humbles you constantly. So, we've been dealing with Sean McMurray, and I've been out at his house many times this week. And hospice is hard. Hospice sucks. I know you all know that. It's terrible. And it stinks. It sucks to see Sean that way. And while I was out there, a friend of his stopped by. And I went back there to see Sean, and he came back to see Sean too. And one of the things we were talking about Sean, his life, and the wild man Sean is. But he said, Gray, 12 years ago, I had another friend that also had the same thing Sean had. And he got through it like Sean did, but the cancer came back 5 years later and he died very quickly. And he said, Gray, I can't tell you how thankful I am that Sean had 12 really good years of life. They weren't a guarantee. That cancer that he had could have taken him so quickly all those years ago. And he was able to live 12 good years. He was able to meet Rhoda Mae. He was able to do some incredible things. And that shifted my perspective, man. I thought, gratitude. If Sean had passed, I never would have met him. He never would have been special to me in the way he is now. And so I think that is a place to build. Gratitude. A place to stay strong. A place that humbles you constantly and makes you get on your knees and just say, thank you, Lord, for this gift. This is the rock to build your life on. This is the sure foundation. Hear God's word and build your life around it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.